Welcome to RailPass. I'm your host, Sarah Hardy, Division Manager of Visitor Experience with the Southern California Railway Museum, located in Paris, California. Join me as we learn more about the Railway Museum and meet the people who volunteer, work, play, partner, and engage with our museum. All aboard for our next great adventure. Today we're going to talk a little bit about the operations side of the Southern California Railway Museum, and who better to introduce this topic than the museum's operations manager and track foreman, Ryan Gallagher. Ryan, before we get started, is there anything you want our listeners to know about you? Can you give a brief introduction?
Sure. So again, as Sarah mentioned, my name is Ryan Gallagher. I've been the operations manager here at the Southern California Railway Museum for about 5 years now. I've always been interested in trains since I was a little boy and stuck with it until now, and joined this museum in 2013 and been heavily involved ever since between operations, track work, and the board of directors.
How did you first get involved with the museum?
I first got involved, I just finished graduating high school in about 2013, and I needed some service hours for one of my college courses that had to be kind of a little bit loosely based in engineering. So I came out here, and then I just kind of stuck with it ever since.
And how did your role evolve to become the operations manager?
So I kind of just started out, I was just interested in running equipment out here, learning how to operate streetcars, locomotives, operate the trains. And it just kind of slowly rose up through the ranks in the volunteer force and operations, and eventually was asked to lead the division.
And then how did the role of track foreman come along?
So I am involved as a civil engineer. I work on track projects through a private company. We work with a bunch of different regional agency railway projects here in Southern California. So I kind of bring some of that experience out here to the museum as well. And there's definitely a need, and I helped try and fill that need.
And then you're also part of the board of directors.
Yes. So I got involved with the board of directors by some of my friends out here. They recommended that I run, and actually won about 3 years ago. My term's up here this year. But
and this is your first term?
Yes, first term as board of directors, and it's been a large learning curve, that's for sure.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What motivated you to join the board of directors?
I think I definitely saw a need out there of making sure we have qualified people on the board who care deeply about the museum as much as I do, and help make decisions to keep this place around for the future.
What are your main responsibilities as operations manager and track foreman?
So my main responsibilities as operations division manager is typically I help run day-to-day operations, schedule events, making sure all the right equipment is out there, making sure we have coverage specific for run ones, as well as our weekly charters, and just kind of keeping up with documentation that's required. And that's pretty much what I do on a daily basis, making sure everybody's happy with our volunteers and helping lead our group safely and efficiently, and helping get people more involved here at the museum.
You mentioned ensuring that we have qualified operators. So all the volunteers who operate, they all go through what in order to?
So we do have I've worked a lot on our training program out here to make it as efficient as possible and make sure that people that come out here, they have a step-by-step process to see where they want to go. Some people just want to operate streetcars. Some want to go all the way up to a locomotive engineer. So there's a process there, but we've revamped a lot of the classes and courses, and we've actually just started this past year making sure that we have a schedule throughout the year, so hopefully we can continue to get new volunteers into the division.
Is it difficult to remember all of these rules and regulations?
It's not too difficult. You know, we do have, it's a long class, it's about 2 hours long. We don't have to follow necessarily all the rules that are in the large G-Corps rule book, since we're just a railway museum, a non-insular railway museum. But, you know, I expect people to kind of learn as they go along. As they get more involved with the division, they they learn the rules and follow them. And we have a lot of good volunteers out there that can lead by example.
How many hours do you need in order to operate a trolley?
So a streetcar, it kind of depends on what people's availability is like. So if you're available every single weekend, both days, you could be just a month, and you could be out there operating a streetcar a month or two. But it really just depends on the individual and what their skill set is as they come in, and how we can develop that skill set.
And what about, so a locomotive is obviously significantly harder. What goes into that?
So we typically, locomotive engineers kind of like our top position within the operating division, since it requires a lot of management skills and different skill sets that you learn throughout your training here. So again, it just depends, but typically, you know, you'd have to become a train conductor. So the train conductor is, you know, working on the back of the train, giving directions to the engineer. And then after you qualify as that, then you can qualify as a locomotive engineer after going through our training courses. So it depends. It's usually about 80 to 160 hours of volunteer time for that position. Yeah.
How did you learn all of this?
So I learned all of this. I went through a couple different, since I was been involved, I was single back then, so I had a lot of time to come out here. I came out here almost every weekend, so I was able to rise to the ranks within, you know, a year or so. But it just depends. We've done a lot to change the culture out here and make it better for people who want to volunteer and hopefully achieve some of their goals.
What has been something that you're most proud of during your tenure as division manager for operations?
I think it would be revamping the training program is something I've been most proud of. There's a lot of old documentation. The museum's been around for a very long time. So just revamping all that documentation and getting courses kind of into a modern format where people are understanding, can understand and move forward in an efficient and safe manner.
So what's been something that you would say has been the most challenging?
The most challenging in terms of operations is I've never really been a manager of people. So trying to learn how to work with different individuals, their personalities, has probably been the most difficult thing I've done in my life. But first starting out is difficult, but now, you know, building relationship with different people and, you know, building a level of trust with the volunteers and being able to perform the tasks we need to do to support our museum.
What would you say it is about this museum that keeps you dedicated and keeps you wanting to serve as their operations manager?
I think it's definitely the people that I've met out here has wanted me to continue to be involved as much as I can in this place. And I'd like to help keep this place around as long as possible, because I have a 2-month-old son and I would like him to experience what I got to experience as a young man.
Do you have a favorite memory looking back on your whole time as a volunteer? It doesn't have to be during your division managing time, but.
Ooh, that's tough. I think probably my most memorable is when I was probably finally qualified as locomotive engineer. That was one of my biggest goals when I first started volunteering out here, and that was definitely a huge highlight for me and definitely a childhood dream achieved for that.
What locomotive was it?
Oh, to be honest, I don't even remember what it was. It's been so long.
And I've heard this from just around listening that each locomotive is different. So you have to be qualified on each one individually. It's not like once you're qualified to operate a locomotive, you can operate them all.
Correct. So typically with our older historical locomotives, each has a slightly different variation of, because as railroading progressed, they had different types of controls on different locomotives. So they're all slightly different and they all have their own little temperaments to learn. And I think it's kind of our best best idea is just to learn the locomotive and treat it well, because we want to make sure it's historical. We're not, you know, running passengers or freight trains on a regular basis. So it's good to make sure all our volunteers understand the historical significance of the piece of equipment and learn its little quirks and to operate it safely.
What is the easiest locomotive to operate?
Probably the easiest locomotive to operate is the Southern Pacific 3100. So it's the U25B. Okay. Its controls are pretty much mirror what the modern locomotives have now, which is pretty standardized. So it's quite easy to operate, to be honest.
And what, you said U25?
U25BE.
What does that mean?
So that's the locomotive's, I can't think of the word for that, but it's the how the locomotive is designated as by its builder. So that's its, yeah.
And what's the most difficult to operate?
Probably the Union Pacific 942.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
So even if it's one of our larger locomotives, but they were kind of experimenting with different brake stands on the locomotive, and it's kind of it's really different, and it's hard to learn, since the different positions are a lot different than some of the more locomotives like the 3100 or the 1956.
So what if you get a locomotive at the museum that's brand new, in the sense that we don't have that type that exists here? How would somebody learn to operate it if it's an historic locomotive that's not operated today? So how do you go about like learning how to operate something that doesn't exist?
Yeah, so a lot of things out here is kind of trial by error. We do have a lot of resources throughout the United States that we can reach out to as well, with different museums that may have a similar type of locomotive and look at their operating procedures. We do have quite a few individuals who are involved, railroaders out in the real world that can also help us as well. So they bring that experience to the table, and that helps us kind of develop a training program for that specific piece of equipment.
Do you have any current projects that are going on?
Current for on the track side, we're always doing track maintenance. I think at the end of this month in June, we'll be doing a crossing rehab project. We'll be ripping out the asphalt and putting in a brand new ties and rail. And then we're always, you know, looking for the next project and just maintaining our track equipment. But in terms of operations right now, we're just kind of still looking through doing document control, but there's no real big projects right now in operations.
What goes into starting and completing a project for the track?
So we typically, we want to go out there and look at what we need to do. So we'll kind of plan on what material we need, how much, you know, manpower we think we'll need to get this project done. We've acquired quite a few pieces of newer track equipment that reduces the backbreaking labor that track is known for. But we would evaluate the current condition and put a plan together. My Dale Wyatt, who helps out with our track department as well, he brings about 30 years of track and signal experience to the museum, and he helps help us evaluate and move forward with projects. And then we usually set up a work weekend. We do that about once every month, get volunteers out here, and we complete the work.
What are these new pieces of track equipment?
So earlier this year, we purchased a tie handler. So it's essentially a crane that rides on the rails that can pick up and move ties. And we also got a tie changer that essentially clamps onto the tie, pulls it out of the track, and we can push a new tie into the track. So it helps us a lot. It's kind of some piece of equipment that we haven't ever had here at the museum, and reduces a lot of the manual labor that we used to have to do by hand. So
you would just have to pick up the ties and like physically put them underneath? Wow.
So we'd have to, you know, manhandle the ties in there into where we needed them to be. And then typically you'd use a backhoe with what's called a cribbing bucket, and we pull it out and then push it back in. But it's not as efficient as this other tie changer machine is at doing that. So
Where did this come from?
So one of our volunteers found a forum post about somebody, a small contractor in Arizona, wanting to get rid of some equipment. So I reached out to him, and we got to agree to a price, and we had it shipped here to the museum. So I believe the name was Tom, the guy was Tom, and he owned a small contracting business. He did stuff on a air base there in Arizona, and he gave us a really good deal on the equipment, so it's helped us out a lot.
Is there any other pieces of equipment that you would like to obtain?
Yeah, we're always, you know, right now we're looking for a ballast regulator, a speed swing, or swing master, and that's kind of the main piece of equipment we're looking at right now. You know, because we can maintain the current equipment we have right now. Other pieces of equipment like a tamper, but you know, we're always open to looking at newer pieces of equipment. It makes it significantly easier to maintain because some of our track equipment's about 80 years old. So,
what are some things you'd like to accomplish in the next 5 years?
Yeah, so I think one thing that we'd like to accomplish in the next 5 years is kind of get our track back into a good condition. You know, we used materials back in the early 1960s. That was right out of the railroad that was donated or brought in from other volunteers. So, you know, it's exceeded its lifespan here, even at our small museum. So we're just trying to play catch up a little bit and get stuff back into what they call a state of good repair. So we're just focusing on that. And then we're trying to get, you know, new track projects done, like back in barn seven, sorry. We are building a new yard to continue to store our historical equipment. And I know we're bringing in new historical equipment here in the next few months. So
yeah,
that's kind of our goals, is just kind of get everything back up to a state of good repair, get a new operations building placed in the Pennacotti Park. And that's kind of my goals right now.
So if any of our listeners are interested in getting involved, how would they go about doing that?
So if they're interested in getting involved with the railway operations, I know we have a member form or a volunteer form on our website, and I know that gets distributed to our managers in the division. Usually Gary Starr reaches out to individuals who may be interested in railway operations, and he can get you in contact with me and get you in our training schedule, get you trained up and start operating. For track, you can either reach out to our COO, Hank Nguyen, or myself, Ryan, at via the museum email. It's R Gallagher, that's RGALLAHER, at SoCalRailway.org.
Nice. So thank you so much. Before we end this, is there anything else you want to add about your role or the museum?
No, we just need all the help we can get. So if you're interested in coming out to the museum and getting involved, I highly encourage it and hope that you'd come out here and help us.
It's a good group that you have that works on the track. So, yeah. Thank you so much for taking the time. I really appreciate it. And I know that you're involved in a lot of projects. So if you're interested, I'd like to have you back to talk about other things that you work on.
Okay. Sounds great. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Thank you for joining me today. As you disembark, make sure to like, subscribe, and comment. And visit SoCalRailway.org to view past episodes, photo, video, and bonus material. And also let us know what you would like to hear, who you'd like to meet, and what we can do for the next Rail Pass episodes.